Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 20 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. It's Sunday, June 30th, the last day of June, as we head into one of my favorite times of the year, July 4th weekend, and my birthday is on the 7th, so we get a lot of stuff coming up. But in today's program, we have some things to cover. We haven't had a program in 2 weeks. We're going on every other week schedule now, and we had a nice interview with Maz Adams, who is a graphic artist and illustrator and does sports and is a TTM collector, and was a great talk. So I hope you enjoy our interview later in the program. Couple new things going on. I am now on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Listen, and as of last week, Stitcher. So you can find my podcast just about anywhere now. Very excited about that. So we are now on Stitcher. If you need to reach out to me with any feedback or any suggestions for the program, just send me an email to ttmcast@yahoo.com. That's ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Instagram at ttmcast, and I'm on Twitter at castttm. So this is all sorts of places on social media you can reach out to me and find me. So again, we're on Stitcher now, so very excited. So now on to Season 1, Episode 20 of TTM Cast. Our first segment, as always, is Baker's Dozen. It's kind of just a dump of what's going on in TTM community, in my life, and social media and all sorts of stuff in the last couple weeks. I've joined a couple of new groups on Facebook, and they're pretty cool. I didn't realize Facebook was so Facebookers, that's a mouthful. I didn't realize the people that are Facebook are so into TTMs. And my first foray into jumping into Facebook TTMing, and I joined three groups: TTM Autographs Galore, Football NFL TTM Collectors, and Baseball Autographs TTM. So three new groups. If you're not in these groups, I highly suggest checking them out. These guys are all very active. They're posting a lot. There's some nice tips in terms of people who are sending out returns, and also it's a good place for new people in the hobby. There's a lot of tips for people that are new to the hobby, so if you want to check out, I recommend it. The three groups on Facebook are TTM Autographs Galore, Football NFL TTM Collectors, and Baseball Autographs TTM. So check it out. Sports Collectors Digest, Bert Lehman, who's been on this program before, had an interesting article on MLB players who were just one-year wonders or had short careers. So they had features on Angel Baroa, Bobby Hamlin, Bobby Crosby, Butch Metzger, guys like Giovanni Soto, and Joe Charbonneau, and John Castillo, and Marty Cordova. These are guys that were kind of basically rookie of the years. He does a nice little feature on these guys, and they show their rookie cards. So I highly recommend checking out Bert Lehman's article on Sports Collectors Digest. Couple other things. My friend Bill on from Brave Star Cards has been having some great posts lately, and I recommend you go visiting Bill's site. He has a web page, bravestarcards.com, and he's also on Instagram. So I recommend not just checking out his Instagram stuff, but his go to his site and check out his posts, because he always has interesting posts. He gets a guy back, he gets a couple, he shows all the cards he gets back, he does a little story on the guy. He does a great job. So I highly recommend checking out Bill's posts on bravestarcards.com. And then I just want to make sure that everyone knows what we're doing now schedule-wise for the show. So we're on an every other week basis, basically because of the availability of guests. And I think the program is a little fresher by having 2 weeks worth of content. So we will have shows every other week moving forward. Our next show is going to be Sunday, July 14th, and then the following show will be Sunday, July 28th, right before Nationals. I'll be going to Nationals on the 31st, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd out in Chicago, so hopefully we'll get some good content from the National show. Hopefully maybe they meet up with some of fellow collectors that are out there, and also maybe, if lucky, cross fingers crossed, get an interview or two from some former athletes that might be at the show. So that we will be on a every other week basis moving forward until future notice. So I recorded my interview for the 14th, so I'll be looking for a guest for the 28th. If you have any interest, send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. But that's where we are every other week. Now to our Why Does Archie Manning Hate Me segment. I'm going to start with Archie Manning again. I saw that Archie signed, and he's had a couple of signings. I do have another Archie Manning out there. I sent one more out maybe about a week ago. So hopefully we can finally get an Archie Manning return. But that is not the case so far. So he still hates me. I am 0-6 and with one pending. So we'll see how that goes. Also, we got to take Mr. Butch Weiniger off the list. Thanks to my buddy Troy Rutter at TTM Autographs. He was... got a return from Butch Weiniger a couple weeks ago, and he motivated me to send one off, and I actually sent one off, and got some great returns. I got my 1978 card back from him, signed, and in addition, he sent three more cards that were not mine. So four cards from Butch Weiniger kind of makes up for the previous two failures. Also, I've noticed that Dusty Baker has been signing, and I'm still waiting on my Dusty Baker card. I don't know why Dusty Baker is moving up the list, the Archie Manning, Why Does Archie Manning Hate Me list, to just below Archie. So I'd love to get Dusty Baker back. I have one out that I sent to him probably about 2 weeks ago. So maybe in the next couple weeks before the haul, maybe next couple weeks, we will get a return from Dusty Baker. I was a big fan of his growing up for obvious reasons. Now, some of my other returns in the last 2 weeks, I had a couple of purchases on eBay. My kids and my wife gave me a eBay gift card for Father's Day, so I got to make a few purchases on eBay the last week or so, and got those all returned. But see, here's my TTM returns. Most of these are within about 2 weeks, unless otherwise noted. So I got Matt Davidson from the Chicago White Sox on a 2019 Topps Heritage. I got a nice Dan Uggla in from a Topps 2013. That one took probably about 2 months, but he's in a Braves uniform. Nice picture. I'm very, very happy to get that. I got Mike Lansing in the Topps 1999 card. He's pictured as a Colorado Rocky. I was looking for a Red Sox card of him, but I didn't have one, so I did send off just the 99 Topps, which I had, and I got that back in maybe 3 or 4 weeks. As I had said, I got some returns from Butch Weiniger that were not my cards. He just sent extras, so I got a 1987 Topps, a 1988 Topps, a 1983 Topps of Butch Weiniger, along with my 1978 Topps that I had sent him. I got two nice returns from Charles Nagy, who I owned as a fantasy baseball player way back. I have been playing fantasy baseball since like 1988 or 87 or 88. So I've been playing for a while, and I remember I always had Charles Nagy on my team. I got two of his rookie cards, his upper deck card, 1991 upper deck card, and 1991 score card, which were two nice cards, and he signed them promptly in a couple of weeks. I got Zdeno Chara from the Boston Bruins upper deck card, 2016-2017, and I sent that out last April, so April of 2018, and I sent that to him at the team, and I got that back last week. So more than a year, almost, I don't know, a year and 3 months, but we did get the captain back from the Bruins, and I was thrilled to get that. Some cards for my set. I got Tom Newberry for my 1992 game day set from the LA Rams, who's an offensive lineman. Those are all great cards. I love getting them signed, and got to add that to my set. And that was in about less than 2 weeks. So 1978, as I said, I had a lot of returns this past 2 weeks. I got from 1978 top set baseball. I got Joe Zdeb from the Kansas City Royals, Tom Johnson from the Minnesota Twins, Rob Andrews from the San Francisco 49ers, Butch Weininger, Greg Gross in a Cubs uniform, and I made a couple purchases this week. So I got Bill Russell. This was on eBay. I got Bill Russell for a couple bucks. I got Chris Spear for a couple bucks. And my favorite one, we'll get that to that in a minute. I got my favorite one. And then one last return that I got that he did not sign was Byron Scott from the Los Angeles Lakers. Sent my two cards back, but did not autograph them. So I'm not sure if that the address that's out there is good for Byron Scott anymore, but he, I guess, is not signing or was looking for a donation, and I didn't send a donation. I don't know. But it was a good return week. And that kind of wraps up returns except for one. And we're going to go right to my favorite return, what was a purchase on eBay for $6. That included shipping. I got Vern Rapp. And now everyone knows that we've had the Vern Rapp minute since we started our show. I sent out a request to Vern Rapp after he had passed away, not realizing he had passed away, for my 1978 set, and I was kind of embarrassed by it. And we have a Vern Rapp minute to let people know that who has passed away, so that doesn't happen to anyone again. But I did get my 1978 Vern Rapp card autographed, and I was thrilled to return that. And my daughter, who loves the Vern Rapp Minute, was actually happy to see that. So now on to the Vern Rapp Minute. We had a couple people pass away in the last 2 weeks. People, you know, if you're collecting sets, these guys are important in terms of, they played in Major League Baseball. And we had a famous Hollywood actor who was a character actor. So we lost Dave Marshall, who played outfield for the San Francisco Giants, the Mets, and the Padres from 1967 to 1973. He was in the 1969 set as a Giant with a Topps Rookie Trophy card. He was also on 1971, 1970, 1972 as Mets, and a 1973 card, he was a Padre. So he's in all those sets, so if you're collecting those sets and you don't have Mr. Marshall, don't send it out to him. He passed away at the age of 76. This was a player that I wasn't familiar with a little earlier, but Aubrey Gatewood, who was a pitcher for the LA Angels in 1963, 64, in 65, and finished his career with a couple games in 1970 with the Atlanta Braves. So he's featured in the 1964, 1965, and 1966 sets as Angels. 64 is his rookie card, and the other two cards, he has solo cards. He passed away. He was 80 years old. So Aubrey Gatewood, pitcher for the Angels. And lastly, the other day we lost Mr. Max Wright. You might not recognize the name, but Max Wright played Willie, the father, on the 80s sitcom Alf. He was Willie on Alf, the dad on Alf. Max Wright was 75. He passed away. So my condolences to their families for their losses. And it's sad that we no longer have them with us. And lastly, I had the opportunity to interview kind of a Renaissance man. His name is Maz Adams, and he is a graphic artist and illustrator. He does mostly sports figures, but he's very talented. He also does Hollywood stuff. He does Game of Thrones. He is a big Planet of the Apes fan, and he has a couple of things that he's interested in. So hopefully you enjoy our talk. I really had fun talking with Maz. He's an interesting character, and I recommend you check out his artwork. He can be found at MazAdamsArt.com. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is Maz Adams from the Garden State of New Jersey. Maz is a renowned graphic artist and illustrator, and I'm going to give you three words to remember about Maz. Maz Adams Art. That's how you find him on Facebook at Maz Adams Art on Instagram. You find him at his website, www.MazAdamsArt.com. And on Twitter at Maz Adams Art. So remember, Maz Adams Art, you can go check out all his fantastic artwork. So welcome to the program, Maz.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to talk with you.
Yeah, I always love talking to talented people, and I've seen your stuff, and you are very talented, my friend. As I talked to you the other day, I am envious of your talent.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It comes with a lot of hard work to put into it, but I'm just so lucky that I have something I love to do.
You can tell by your work, it's very professional, and the stuff that you do is awesome. So I just wanted to... We're a TTM podcast, but we're also a sports podcast and a collector's podcast as well. And I thought it was a nice idea to talk to you because you do something in regards to TTM. Why don't you tell us what you do with that?
Yeah, well, when we were talking, I said, you know, some people, and I'm not knocking it, will kind of just... there's a definite high to getting a return in the mail and all the people like that. And so they'll kind of just like, throw nets everywhere, meaning they'll write to anybody and everybody. But with me personally, if I write somebody, you know, I pick and choose people that I really do admire, that I really like an autograph from. And some of them are bigger names, but regardless, as a thank you, what I'll do is I'll include a drawing. And that's kind of like how I got into the sports part. I want to kind of separate myself. Plus, it's a lot of time to do that. So that's kind of how I ended up doing that.
How do you choose your subjects? Is it just people that you're really into, or do people commission you to draw, or how do you choose who you're going to do a drawing?
Well, as far as the art goes, you know, some people I'll do on my own. So if there's somebody that I want to write through the mail, you know, I'll draw them on my own. A lot of it is commission work. Sometimes I'll get work from through charities, the athletes in their charities. I've done stuff for Bernie Williams, for Don Mattingly. I did stuff for Isaac Bruce and for his Gridiron Gala last year. And I'm going to be doing a piece for his Gridiron Gala this year. Stuff like that. And so it's like a mix of stuff. You know, I'm always busy doing something. I'm always working on like multiple things at one time. And even when I'm not done with that, I'm thinking of what's going to be worked on next. So,
I'm sorry. Now I know as somebody that sends out TTM, I'm not getting, 100% return. I may be getting 50 or 60% return, but you're spending a lot of time and creating these drawings. Are you getting almost 100% return when you send somebody a drawing that's unsolicited?
I've been pretty lucky. You know, the thing that I like to preach is I kind of go off the beaten path. There are a lot of addresses there that people kind of like, can find online easily. I'm about doing research. I think there are a lot of people, and again, I'm happy to help people out, but there are a lot of people that I found on my own. And to me, that's almost the fun of it, to know, hey, I did this on my own. I found this person and I had a success. So I've taken risks. I obviously tell people, never send something you don't want to risk having back. Even people that are pretty much a shoo-in, you never know what's going to happen in the mail or when they're going to shut it down or what's going to happen. But I've been pretty blessed, and the bottom line is, like, I'll send a print most of the time and maybe with a letter, and if I kind of get a good response, then I might send an original. But I think that's the blessing about being able to draw is, God forbid something happened to an original, if I needed to, I could redo it. But so far, I've been pretty good with that.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. So you don't usually send the original, you just send a printed copy of what you've done. Now, I know you do you do computer generated stuff, but you also do hand drawings and with ink and watercolor and all that stuff. Why don't you give us a little overview of how you go about creating your masterpieces, and I will say they are masterpieces.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So one thing I do want to clear up, you know, and I get this a lot because a lot of people do edits and there's a lot of Photoshop and stuff like that. The stuff that I do that's even digital is still all hand-drawn. It's just on the iPad.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm putting it through a filter or, you know, to me that's a compliment when somebody calls my work an edit, but it's definitely not an edit. It's just as much work. The only reason I would do something digitally as opposed to doing it on paper is if I'm going to, like, all I've been asked to do, I've done prints for signings. I actually did two special prints for Ronald Acuna Jr. signing. That was like a limited thing for that. So if I knew it was going to be used directly for a print, it's easier for me to just do it the size I want to digitally, send it straight to the printer that way, as opposed to drawing it, having to worry about scanning it, having to worry about it being reproduced the right way, the colors holding and stuff like that. But
yep.
It really depends who I'm doing it for and what I'm doing it for. Obviously, when you're doing something by hand, you take a lot of risk. I've spilled ink a million times. It's ruined stuff. It's more time consuming. And a lot of people are happy with the print, and if they end up framing it anyway, it doesn't really matter. So it's up to the person I'm doing it for or what I'm doing with it. Like what we were talking about before, I might feel somebody out by finding an address, not knowing if it's the right person, and sending a print. And then if I have luck, you know, I might write them back with an original, and I usually will include an original for them. I've done that with a few people. Mike Busey and I have an original from signed through the mail. He's, you know, a great guy. I've gotten him a bunch of times. I'm sure a lot of people have, but El Duque was another one I got through the mail. Great guy. So stuff like that.
Cool. If you haven't noticed, Maz is a Yankees fan, and so I'm talking to him despite that we come from different sides of the plate on this one, where I'm a Red Sox fan. But he did do some Red Sox drawings. He has a great David Ortiz, and I recommend that you go check out his stuff online. As I said earlier, the three words to remember for Maz are Maz, Adams, and Art. You can basically find Maz anywhere. He's on Twitter, he is on Instagram, he's on Facebook, he's got his own website, and he's actually been featured in a couple Beckett magazines. How did that come about?
So I've been very lucky. A little tidbit, like side fact, you know, I'm 33 years old. I had to stop and think about that for a second. But when I was like 13, I was a big Pokemon fan when I was like 12 or 13. So my first published quote unquote work was in a Pokemon Beckett. They used to put out a Pokemon magazine. I don't know if they still do. So it was kind of very serendipitous for me because I had done like a drawing and sent it in and they published it. But getting back to this, I've recently become friends with a guy who's a sports artist. He's much more renowned than I am, and I hope to be half the artist he is. James Fiorentino, he's an amazing watercolor artist, sports artist. I believe he's the youngest artist to ever have his work in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's just a great guy, and he's been amazing to me and helping mentor me. And yeah, so through him, I'd gotten in contact with Beckett. He had given me a heads up. They were planning on doing a special issue dedicated to sports art. So he told me, you know, I should try reaching out to the guy, and I did. And I sent samples. They didn't tell me if they were going to use anything or not. And actually, it's a funny story because I went to an event that James was having featuring his artwork. And he's friends with Linda Ruth Estetti, the granddaughter of Babe Ruth, and she's going to be there. So he wanted to introduce me to her. And I've done a Babe Ruth piece, which is one of my favorite pieces I've ever done. So I met her. I gave it to her. She was, like, actually pretty blown away by it. Because, you know, people tell me my style's really different. I use a lot of hatching and things like that. And I had no idea about that I was in the magazine. And James had copies of the magazine there. And, you know, I was like, you know, sucks, I wasn't in it, whatever. And I was in there with David's granddaughter. I'm flipping through the magazine, and I see my Babe Ruth piece in there. It was a pretty amazing moment for me. And, you know, she likes to say that her grandfather, you know, Torch's magic in different ways, so she kind of attributed it to that. But, and then, like, a month later, you know, I met up with James again, we were hanging out, and he said, I have something for you, and then he showed me, in the vintage Beckett.
Yeah, that's a great magazine.
Yeah, they reprinted. It was a special anniversary, I guess, issue for 16MS, and they reprinted my piece even a little bit bigger, so to me, that kind of stuff is very surreal and very cool, and stuff I'll cherish forever. You know, I'm very grateful for every opportunity or anybody who compliments my work. You know, it's, I love that I can combine two of my passions and that I can use that to meet players or get autographs because I truly enjoy every second of it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on your site you have all sorts of pictures that you got to actually present these your artwork to these athletes, and they would sign them in person too, which must have been a big thrill. And in terms of your style, what I noticed is you incorporate a lot of different elements into the artwork, not just the player itself. You know, with your Darryl Strawberry picture, you had a nice strawberry thing in the background, that kind of stuff. So, how do you get what inspires you to kind of incorporate that stuff into your artwork? It's not just simply a headshot of a guy, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually really grateful that you mentioned that because that's kind of my angle into it, so to speak. And it's not something that I did on purpose. It kind of happened organically. You know, I just want to do something that kind of captures the spirit of a player. And I think the thing about baseball is that we all have emotions. We all have memories when we look at somebody, you know, moments that we remember. Some of them are the memories that everybody has, and some are specific. So, like, for instance, the first thing I did for a charity was for Don Mattingly. And to me, when I thought of him, I thought of the moment with the popcorn, reaching in and grabbing the popcorn from a kid. So I had included popcorn in that piece. And from there, I was like, I really like that, you know. And the risk is that not everybody will get the reference. But, you know, art you create for yourself, and there's bound to be other people that are going to get it. It just, with certain people, it's tough. You know, certain people, it's easier. And other people, it's like, what can I put that somebody will know? Like, you know, Wade Boggs was my first. That was my guy as a kid. I loved Wade Boggs. I still love him. He's a very nice, great guy and a good guy to look up to. But, you know, Chicken, you know, like somebody like that, that's synonymous with something. But some other players are not as easy. So as a last resort, you know, I might throw a number in there or something, so it's not like for everybody, it's kind of impossible, but I just like incorporating these other elements to kind of give my personal feel of the ball player, what I think of.
Yeah, I think it really gives your pieces a personality, and that's what I got out of looking at some of your artwork. Now, obviously, I just saw it online, so I haven't seen the originals or in big format, but you could just tell that, you know, a lot of your pieces have a lot of personality, and, you know, even some of the older guys, I like the one you did with Don Larson with the perfect game and the ticket stub.
Oh, yeah.
That was
kind
of cool one. I really enjoyed your Jim Palmer with just, you know, that big leg kick that you showed, that of him rearing back to fire, and you could, you know, there was a lot of life in your work.
I appreciate that. You know, the thing is, like, with these guys, especially older guys like Palmer, I mean, and I say older, but he's in phenomenal shape. He doesn't look his age at all, but he's probably been drawn a million times. And, you know, I'm trying to get, like, a fresh take on it, and because they've probably been used to seeing themselves that way. But he's a good example. I've done him three different times. I did a piece with him and Eddie Murray, and I, you know, did an Oriole, something simple like that in there. And then I did him again, just a straight-up piece like you're referring to, which is another one of my favorites. And then I did him a third time with pancakes in the background. So, you know, some of these guys you can hit up multiple times. But, you know, and that's the thing, like getting back to what you said about, you know, you being a Red Sox fan and me being a Yankees fan. I am 100% a diehard Yankee fan, but I also, first and foremost, am a fan of baseball. And I respect everybody, no matter what hat you wear, I might root against you. But some of my favorite players are not Yankees. I just love the history of the game in general.
It's a great game. Now, I know from somebody that was really influential in your career as an artist is your mom. Why don't you talk a little about how your mom's influenced you?
Yeah, so my mom's like was a typical Jewish mother. You know, unfortunately, she's no longer with us, and that was kind of tough when she passed because she was from day one, you know, I've been very blessed that I always knew I wanted to be an artist. Well, my earliest memories legitimately are me sitting in pre-K at the table coloring while people were playing with blocks. And she always nurtured that. And she passed away, I want maybe like 3.5-4 years ago.
Sorry about that.
That's life, you know. But so when she passed, it was hard for me to kind of continue. Maybe I took like 2 weeks where it was hard for me to draw, but you finally, you know, I feel like she's there with me, watching me with every piece. She would always be at the conventions I was doing, standing in front of the table, being like, yo, this is my son. Can you believe he drew that? So what I did was, you know, on my artwork, I have a little symbol I do, like most artists, and I actually include her initials in it so that she is physically with me in every piece. And I don't want to let it go without, you know, saying my dad has been super supportive. He was financially supportive and emotionally supportive, and he's carried, picked up the slack, and he's been great. And it's been a lot of fun, especially with the sports art, doing that for the past 2 years, because he's the reason I love baseball. He's the reason I love football. So to be able to share these moments with him, to tell him, hey, I did this piece for Don Mattingly, or hey, I got invited to this dinner for Bernie Williams' charity, like, knowing that he's the reason I did this, we're able to share like twice as much the joy. So I've been very blessed, and my wife and everybody in my family, just amazing people, and it's important.
Yeah, it's nice that you have a nice support system, and you know, my dad brought me to the game of baseball as well and got me involved in collecting. You know, I'm a card collector and an autograph collector as well, so it's nice to have that support system. We're speaking with Maz Adams. Maz is a graphic artist and illustrator. He does fantastic work. I recommend you go checking it out. He has prints for sale. They're just $50 for one of his prints, and they're well worth it because these are beautiful professional pieces of artwork. The three keywords for Maz are Maz Adams Art. That's where you go find him, on his website at www.mazadamsart.com. He is on Instagram at mazadamsart. He is on Twitter, if you want to reach out to him, at mazadamsart. And he is on Facebook. So he's a very talented artist. I recommend that you guys go check out his work. I would think they would be great things to send out to get autographed. Or if you're going to a card show, or if you're going to the National, some of the guys that Maz has painted or sketched or drawn are available. Are you heading to the National show in Chicago this year?
I am not. It's probably a good thing for my wallet. My wife will probably kill me. But I know next year it's supposed to be in Atlantic City, so I'm planning to do that. So that'll be nice.
All right. Well, we'll definitely meet up there. You know, we've just been talking sports, and I don't want to bore everyone with just sports, because Maz actually draws other things as well. He has some Planet of the Apes drawings, which were really cool. He has Game of Thrones drawings. Have you sent any of those out to get signed?
Oh, not the Game of Thrones. You know, the funny thing is, what brought me to the proverbial dance, so to speak, was I went to school for comic art and cartooning. I always had a love of comics, the paranormal, the unexplained, the monsters, big Star Wars fan, Batman fan. So I originally got my feet wet. I'm a graduate of the Joe Kubert School of Cartoon and Graphic Art. I got my feet wet doing a lot of horror conventions and comic conventions. And it's through the mail that got me into doing the sports. But in terms of sending stuff out, I haven't confirmed this, but I have a sneaking suspicion I may have the largest Planet of the Apes autograph collection. I'm not even kidding. I have binders and binders and binders, because through the years, my biggest through the mail successes have been from Planet of the Apes. They are the originals to the newer ones, and I've actually made friends with some of the people, which is the coolest thing for me.
How about from the TV show from the 70s? Do you have any of those guys?
I do, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of them are from the 70s, you know. And like I said, I'm glad to help people who are not lazy, and because I put in the work. I literally have, like, for years, I'll go in, I'll look up the guy who played, you know, background gorilla number 2 in this episode. I'll find it, I'll research, I'll find the guy, I'll write him, you know, and unfortunately a lot of those people are no longer with us, but the ones that are, you know, I take the time to do a handwritten letter, I'll do a sketch for them. I'll send it to them, you know, and they'll sign three photos for me or whatever. And it's all for me. You know, I collect because I'm passionate about it. I'm not going to ask for something to sell. And if people do that, that's up to them. But it's really fun finding, because like I said, the fun is finding these people that nobody knows. And
yeah.
You know, a couple of people, I've had actually really cool, a few experiences. So Wright King played Dr. Galen in the original Planet of the Apes, the surgeon, you know, that's in like one scene. And I wrote him years ago, and he wrote me back. He actually gave me his phone number because I guess he appreciated my letter, and I sent him a drawing I did of him. And over the past few years, you know, we had become really friendly. I would call him every, you know, month or so, and we'd talk. And he was in a retirement home for actors in California. And, you know, to get to meet this guy that, like, I watched growing up, even if it's for a second, and get to know him on a personal level and him know who I was, you know, is outstanding. And unfortunately, he passed away. And so it makes me even more grateful for that opportunity. And then another guy, Werner Kepler, he's an award-winning makeup artist. He's one of only, I think, two makeup artists that are alive that worked on the original Planet of the Apes. He's the only one to have worked on all of them, all the original five films. He's another guy I call every month. He's in his 90s, sharp as a tack, and he's just, you know, stuff like that is like takes, you know, through the mail to a whole other level. And one more quick story, if I can, about Planet of the Apes.
Of course.
And this is, again, research. Again, when I can, I try to get home addresses, but I have to stress, you know, it's something you have to be very delicate with. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for everybody. If you kind of know how a celebrity is, you know, you might know if it's worth it or not. So Judy Greer, I'm a big fan of her. You know, she was in the new series of Planet of the Apes as Cornelia. So I had written her at home. I know she's actually a fan of the original Planet of the Apes. And, you know, you don't know if you're going to hear back or whatever. But sure enough, the other thing was I drew her as Cornelia, the ape that she plays. Within a couple of months, I got back my photo signed. She sent me a handwritten letter. And then, like a year later, somebody on Instagram tags me and says, "Is this yours?" And I see that she posted a photo of the drawing I did hanging on her fridge. So to know, yeah, that this actress has been in, like, Big Bang Theory and, you know, Planet of the Apes and the new Halloween and all this stuff, has my drawing on her fridge is, like, mind-blowing. So, and, you know, then she went through my page and started commenting on stuff. And because she's like, "I'm so sorry, I forgot who did this." And when I said me, she started responding. So to me, you know, the autographs are cool, but stories like that and experiences like that, you know, when you're a genuine person and when people are good people, you know, that's the stuff you can't replicate.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I started the podcast is a chance to meet some of my heroes, and I've had a chance to meet Johnny Busick and Jim Cott and some of the Randy Gregorio and some of the other athletes that I idolized and actually got on the podcast. And it's nice to have that one-on-one time and talk to some of the people that you admire.
Did you say Jim Cott?
Yep.
Kitty? Jim Cott. Oh, man, he's probably my favorite announcer of all time. I miss him.
He was awesome. He's
the best.
I recommend you go listen to one of my old podcasts where I interviewed him, spoke to him for about a half hour, 45 minutes, just about baseball and autographs and getting, you know, people sending him requests and that kind of stuff. And he was so gracious and you know, I'm a nobody in this business, so to speak. So it was nice to get a response from somebody like Mr. Cott.
That's a great get from a guy that has a lot of great gets with that Golden Glove, man. It's just...
Yep, 16 awesome. In a row.
Yeah, just a couple, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
so I got one more question for you, and I'm hoping that this is you. I'm going to say two words, and I need your response to it. Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. It's a huge part of my life.
I know it is. I wasn't going to let him you go by without talking about Bigfoot with you.
No, that's cool. that's another thing that I like to draw a lot. As a kid, I'm originally from Brooklyn, and I'll never forget my sister came home with, like, an article. A couple articles. One was like on UFOs in Florida, and the other one was about Bigfoot and had that classic Patty, you know, from Patterson-Gimlin frame in there. And, you know, since that time, I was like, hooked. Just being, growing up in the streets of Brooklyn, you know, like the furthest thing from that is the Pacific Northwest. And through the years, you know, the funny thing was I was always afraid of like monsters. I was the biggest chicken growing up. Even though I liked, and it's ironic because I love them now, even though I always liked aliens and cool designs and stuff like that, like Frankenstein and Dracula, man, that scared the crap out of me. So, but I was always into aliens and Bigfoot and ghosts, like the stuff that quote unquote could be real. And through the wonderful world of the internet and Facebook, you know, I was able to become part of that community and become friendly with some people. I'm friendly with Cliff Barrickman from Finding Bigfoot. He's a great dude. If anybody ever watched the show, he's awesome. And just like, that was something that I did a lot of, Bigfoot art. I collect, actually, you know, casts from supposed footprints. I have probably like 60 of them. To me, it's cool, you know, even if, you know, but people who believe in Bigfoot get a bad rap, but it, I always say it's kind of like, let's say you don't like rap music. You say rap music is terrible. You don't listen to rap music, so you know nothing about rap music. It's the same thing with Bigfoot. People have this idea that it's some kind of mythological creature like a unicorn and don't realize that the basis is in, you know, human evolution or some kind of divergence or lost species of primate. You know, gorillas had gone centuries before being discovered, so... But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. But
No, I couldn't let it go. I saw when I was doing a little research on you the other day, I saw something about Bigfoot, and I go, I got to talk to – I got to at least mention Bigfoot or I won't forgive myself. So we're talking with Maz Adams. It's M-A-Z, Adams with an S, and he is at MazAdamsArt.com. You can check out all his artwork. He is a graphic artist and illustrator. He does sports. He does horror and comic stuff. He does Planet of the Apes. He does Game of Thrones. He has all sorts of fantastic drawings. I recommend you go check out his stuff. He is a TTM collector, sending out his artworks to get TTM, and I recommend you go check it out. His website, he sells his prints for their $50 a piece, and they are be great things to send out to get signed. So, Maz, I appreciate your time. We took about a half hour. I don't want to keep you all night. I know you're a very, very busy man. Is there anything we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're pretty good. I mean, I think we got it covered. Unless there's anything you thought of that you might
want to... No, I just got one more thing to give you. This is kind of a sales lead for you. I don't know if you're familiar with Tanner Jones. Tanner wrote...
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
You know Tanner?
Yeah, so, of course.
Tanner is the biggest Jose Canseco fan I have ever spoken with or met.
Yeah.
And I know you did a couple of Jose Canseco drawings, and I don't know if you've reached out to Tanner, because Tanner has every single, or has had every single Jose Canseco card ever made. He spent a day with Jose Canseco at his house with his family and had him sign a bunch of stuff. So he is a huge Jose Canseco fan, and I would reach out to Tanner. He's at tanmanbaseballfan.com, and I'd let him know that you got a couple of Canseco prints.
Oh, he knows, actually. I'm friendly with him. But
did you read his book?
I have not yet. No, I have to do that. But anytime I do something Canseco, I show it to him. Actually, since Canseco just did that signing in California, my buddy went to, I wanted to do something different because I did him on the Rays, and I had him do the inscription. If I make the Hall, it'll be as a Ray, which he got a kick out of. I did traditional athletics piece with a Rookie of the Year inscription we did. And then my friend says, hey, man, with all this stuff going on in the news with him and Bigfoot and aliens, you got to do, like, a piece like that. It's right up your alley. So I did a piece of Jose Canseco. It's based on a photo where he's, I guess, swearing in court. And inside of his suit, it's got Bigfoot and UFOs. And I put, like, the X-Files logo in the back.
Nick.
And I had him write, the truth is out there, but it'll cost you $5,000. Because for those that don't know, you know, he's saying he's got proof of Bigfoot and aliens, and if you pay him $5,000, he'll show you. So I had him do that, and I thought he was going to get a big kick out of it. And when I asked my friend what he said, he looked at it, and he said, what the hell? And then he realized, he goes, oh, aliens, and then he signed it. So That's probably my most unique baseball piece, with including something else, but that was a fun one.
Now, well, what are you working on now? What's in progress now?
So a bunch of stuff. I'm doing a few pieces for the National. I'm doing a Bagwell. I'm doing, I don't know who else. Bagwell's what I'm working on now. And then in September, I'm doing, like I said, the Gridiron Gala again for Isaac Bruce's charity. And basically what that is like last year, Isaac obviously was there, Ricky Pohl was there, and Torrey Holt was there. And they wanted me to do a piece that they reproduced and made prints out of that Isaac would sign to give to guests. So this year they're doing the anniversary of the Super Bowl championship. So they're going to have like around 30 people there that were either on the team or coaching or front office. So that's going to be a big project. I'm actually going to be trying to do everybody on that piece.
Wow.
So that'll be in September. I'm trying to think what else. I got like so much stuff going on. I'm trying to remember. But those are the two currently in progress. I just did an Edwin Diaz piece that is going to go to him. I'm doing a Schmidt for this weekend.
Okay.
So that's all I can think of right now. But, commission for somebody. I just accepted a family portrait, because I do that too. I accept commissions. I try to keep the person along the way, in the process. Because the worst thing you want to do is finish a piece completely and then find out that it's nothing like they wanted. Right. So communication is key,
All right, well, why don't you give out all your contact information and your pertinent information, and then we can call it a night.
Absolutely. So as you were saying, it's Maz Adams Art, M-A-Z, Maz Adams with one D, A-D-A-M-S, art, @gmail.com is the easiest way to reach me. I have a Facebook page, The Art of Maz Adams. It's the one thing that's different from everything else. I wouldn't suggest messaging on that, because for whatever reason, it's hard to see the messages. Find me on Facebook as Maz Adams, Instagram, Maz Adams Art, Twitter, Maz Adams Art. But again, email's probably best. I'm always looking for challenges to do new things. The support from you and from everybody is incredible, and it means a lot to me, and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Well, again, thank you for your time. You're a Renaissance man, my friend. You're feet into many fires, and I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate your time, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
No problem, Jeff. No, it's my pleasure. I'm never too busy to talk this stuff. This is fun for me.
Okay, you have a great day.
You too.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Mr. Maz Adams for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed our interview as much as I did. And I want to let you know our next show will be Sunday, July 14th. So with that, I wrap up the show, close it out, and as always, wishing you many happy returns.